always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Elon Musk has stepped away from his position leading Doge, but President Trump says Musk will always be with us.
He really has changed the mindset of a lot of people. A lot of people thought, you know, maybe we'll cut 1% or 2% or 3%. Then they said, well, we can cut a lot more than that.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson on the Supreme Court's ruling today, lifting protections for thousands of migrants from places like Cuba, Venezuela, and Haiti.
The program is ended for now. I do want to caution that this isn't a final ruling on the merits from the trial court, from the circuit court, or from the Supreme Court.
Business reporter Jason Brooks on a lackluster finish to the week on Wall Street.
Stocks finished mixed after President Trump posted on Truth Social that China violated the tariff agreement with the U.S.
The Dow Jones Industrials finished up just 54 points. The S&P 500 unchanged. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A powerful legislative committee has inched forward on the next state budget. Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman reports.
On Thursday, the Joint Finance Committee approved updates to the public employee pension system and continued funding for youth firefighter training programs. They also voted to keep five call center positions at the Department of Safety and Professional Services for another 3 years. That agency handles licensing for workers in hundreds of skilled trades, from electricians to nurses. Democrats on the committee pushed to make those staff positions permanent and to add even more staff to help speed up licensing. They point out the agency is self-funded through licensing fees. But with Republicans holding the majority, those changes didn't make it in. Talks are still underway on the bigger ticket items in the budget. Key GOP lawmakers and Governor Evers reportedly met again last week.
There's an opening on the Wood County Circuit Court this summer. Governor Tony Evers is seeking applicants to fill a vacancy created by Judge Todd P. Wolf's retirement. Judge Wolf will officially retire July 11th. The new judge will complete a term ending July 31st, 2026. Interested applicants have until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, June 11th, to submit a completed application form and supporting material. You can find more information at evers.wi.gov. The 13th annual United Weekend food sculpture event is set for June 17th at Witter Field. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties is teaming up with the Healthy Community Coalition to fight hunger. Teams will build sculptures using canned foods and basic need items before the Rafters versus Pit Spitters game. You can vote for your favorite food sculpture, bring change in cash to participate in the Miracle Minute, and donate non-perishable food or cash donations that day. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers in Philly.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight. The Brewers open a three-game series against the Phillies, the best team in the National League so far this season. But manager Pat Murphy is encouraged after the crew swept the Red Sox this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to who they are. I talk about that a lot, like who these people are. Who is Bryce Turang? Who is Jackson Churio? Who is William Contreras and Yelich? And that's what makes me believe in the team is who they are.
In golf, the U.S. Women's Open continues at Erin Hills near Hartford, Wisconsin. NFL at OTAs, we met Aaron Banks, the Packers' new left guard, who signed a four-year, $77 million deal in free agency and talked about finding out he was headed from the 49ers to Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a lot of contact from my agent until the window opened on that Monday, and he hit me and was like, hey, we got good news, think cheese. So I was like, all right, deal's done. All right, sounds good.
That's Packers left guard Aaron Banks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight, maybe a stray shower, and a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, filtered sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. And mostly sunny on Sunday, high to the upper 70s, still a little smoky. 80s Monday, currently at 75 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week on the Rational Revolution, we've got Devin Remiker. He's running for chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think it speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. We made it. Another week in the books. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, there was a bit of local reporting this week that caught my attention. One of the reasons that I have been so apoplectic about the MAGA regime's approach to deportations, the deprivation of due process, as well as their threats to, quote, suspend habeas corpus as if that's something that the president can do by himself. It's not. The reason that this concerns me so deeply is that mistakes get made by government. I mean, who out there listening to my voice right now would say, well, government, no. I completely trust government to never make any mistakes at all, ever. And if we know that government makes mistakes, or maybe even intentionally might put out some information that's not entirely true, you know, the swamp. What happens when that intentional misinformation put out by the government or just a mistake results in someone who is here legally and is eligible to be here legally, not yet a citizen, but a legal non-citizen resident of the United States, is disappeared in the middle of the night? What happens if that misinformation gets out there and folks that believe in the MAGA regime start threatening someone's life based on that misinformation? Well, something along these lines just went down right here in our state over the past couple of weeks. Eva Wen of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covered it, broke this story, which has now been picked up nationally. First of all, Eva, congratulations on the coverage. It's excellent. It's incredibly important for us to understand. Take us through the basic facts of this story.
Thank you for having me. So the Department of Homeland Security, they issued a statement that accused a man in Milwaukee, a Mexican immigrant who's currently undocumented, of writing a letter threatening to assassinate President Donald Trump. His lawyers and people who know him say it is not possible because he does not speak English and has very limited writing skills, even in Spanish, which is his first language. And later on, we saw a CNN report citing a senior law enforcement official that investigators have already decided that this man, Ramon Morales Reyes, is not the author of the letter. And since the statement by the Department of Homeland Security was issued, the family has been receiving death threats from social media and has been under a tremendous amount of stress. So his lawyers and advocates now are urging the Department of Homeland Security to issue a correction so that Morales Reyes' name would be cleared.
This is interesting. He was also in the process of applying for a U visa. Tell us what a U visa is and why that's relevant in this case.
Yes. So a U visa is essentially a visa that would be issued, if you're approved, to victims of certain crimes that are willing to assist in law enforcement investigations of the crime. And in this case, he was a victim of the crime and also has assisted law enforcement in prosecuting this case. His U visa is currently under, he's still applying in the process of applying. So he has not gotten the U visa yet. But yes, that's something that has been going on as well.
So I want to summarize what has occurred here. A man who is the victim of a crime, who is here undocumented, he does not have legal status, reported the crime, was cooperating with law enforcement in their prosecution and investigation of the crime. As he became known to law enforcement as a victim of the crime, the federal, which again, that's under state law, that those are local law enforcement, that's not federal law enforcement, state law-based crime. He's cooperating with law enforcement. Federal immigration officials become aware, okay, we know who this guy is and where he is. He's cooperating with this investigation. They decide, someone within the Department of Homeland Security decides to issue a statement in advance, apparently, of his getting arrested, picked up by immigration officials, that accuse him of threatening the president's life, except at the time they made the statement, other officials within DHS already knew that he didn't author this threat letter to the president, that was not true. The statement went out. His family's now under threat, concerned for their well-being. This man who was the victim of a crime, though here did not have legal status, is now sitting in the Dodge County Detention Center in Juneau, Wisconsin. His family's receiving threats, and DHS has to date refused to correct the public record that, in fact, this guy didn't send this threat to Donald Trump. Please correct any of that if I've gotten it wrong, Eva.
Well, this man, Ramon Morales Reyes, he was arrested on Thursday, May 22nd. And according to DHS, the letter was received on May 21st, and they issued the statement six days later. So they issued the statement on the 28th, saying, he wrote this letter. So that's
here's yeah. So the correction is to the timeline. The letter was received May 21st. This man, who at the time was cooperating in law enforcement as the victim of a crime being investigated by local and state law enforcement officials, he was then arrested May 22nd. By federal law enforcement. He's being detained in a state correctional facility. And on May 28th, federal officials, though officials within Homeland Security knew the statement to be false, issued a statement that this guy threatened the life of the president of the United States. Eva, where does it stand? Have we had any updates? I know you published this. It was late yesterday afternoon when this came out. Has there been any follow-up? Has DHS today issued any corrective statement? Has there been any response at all from DHS?
Not to my knowledge, no. Yesterday, I asked questions to DHS about how they identified this letter as being from the person they arrested, Ramon Morales Reyes, and they did not directly answer that question and said in the process of investigating this matter, they found out that Ramon Morales Reyes was here undocumented and had a criminal record, and that's why they took him into custody.
Folks, that is Eva Nguyen, reporter from the Journal Sentinel. Thank you so very much, Eva, for bringing this important story to all of our listeners here at Civic Media. I am going to now take phone calls and text messages on this because I want to make a couple of points. And Eva, you can stick around and chime in when you want, or you can get going. I know you've been very busy with this story. Here's what's concerning to me. Not unlike what happened with Mr. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the federal government seems to be inventing garbage to say about people after they have been arrested with deportations pending. Here's what else concerns me about this particular case. The man was a victim of a crime. He reported it, was cooperating with investigators. And but for his being a victim of a crime and cooperating with law enforcement, which is what helps keep our local community safe, most of us, the crimes that occur, those are state law crimes, not federal crimes. People cooperating with law enforcement when they're victims, that is how we secure our communities and keep our communities safe. He's cooperating with law enforcement, but for all of those things that would have occurred, immigration officials wouldn't have known where he is or that he was here illegally. So we have a case in point now where an individual was doing what all local law enforcement always hope people do, and that is report crimes and cooperate with your local police department in the investigation of that crime. And because he did the right thing there, he's now sitting behind bars. His family is under threat because DHS lied about him and refuses to correct that lie, that mistake. And now we have, hey, are they going to wait before they deport him so that they can finish the investigation and find out who committed this crime? I mean, this case has all of these trappings of these very things that we have been concerned about when we look at this intersection of frankly, state and local law enforcement and the immediate needs of keeping our communities safe and federal immigration enforcement. This is part of that tension, which, by the way, everybody, is what the 10th Amendment is about, and the fact that the federal government cannot usurp the powers of local government to help enforce federal immigration law. Eva, have you heard anything from advocacy groups this man's attorneys about these fundamental issues, these points of tension? We keep our communities safe through the application of state criminal statutes and local law enforcement. If people are afraid they're going to be deported if they report crimes, our communities will be less safe. Are advocacy groups concerned about this?
Yes, advocacy groups and lawyers are definitely saying that this will have a chilling effect on crime reporting in the community. And, they are also very concerned that DHS has not issued a correction and the family is still under threat right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Eva Nguyen. And folks, I have just the sound for you, Jacob. Do we have Senator Joni Ernst? This is what we're talking about. It is the callousness of many federal officials, including DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, to the vulnerabilities of immigrant populations. They are more frequently victims of crimes than citizens are. They're less likely, not more likely, to report those crimes if they may face and fear deportation. Again, do we care about people or not? Do we care about the rule of law or not? Senator Joni Ernst today answered that question emphatically, very clearly, without stuttering one little bit, in my opinion, in a town hall that she faced. Do we have time for the sound, Jacob? Let's take a listen. Now, this is in the context of Medicaid, and I want to be clear here. There are very, 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 very limited exceptions, and they're not even really exceptions. The baseline rule is that people who are here illegally are not eligible for Medicaid. You sometimes have mixed families where the kids may be eligible, even if a parent is not. And sometimes there can be some confusion. Listen to what Joni Ernst had to say in response to concerns about people being thrown off Medicaid.
When you are arguing about illegals that are receiving Medicaid benefits, 1.4 million, they are not eligible, so they will be coming off. So we all are going to die. So heaven says,
we're all going to die, so screw people that might get booted off Medicaid. I'm going to pick up that train. We're going to listen to that sound again on the other side, because the link here is this. While this man unfairly incorrectly smeared by the Department of Homeland Security, is subject to deportation, That process is being applied to him only because he stepped up and did the thing we want everyone in our communities to do, and that is report crimes and cooperate with law enforcement. The response of DHS and the federal government is, we don't care. We don't care if it makes communities less safe if we do what we're doing, just like Senator Joni Ernst doesn't care if people die because we rip families away from their Medicaid coverage. We pick up the discussion on the other side. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home, for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The idea that the Department of Homeland Security would put out a statement about someone that is potentially subject to deportation that has now put that man's life and his family's life at risk, knowing that their statement was incorrect. What happened here is a man who is validly subject to deportation was the victim of a crime. Because he was a victim of a crime, reported it, and was cooperating with law enforcement, federal immigration officials identified him as someone subject to deportation. The man does have a criminal record, again, nonetheless, a victim of a crime. Now, what federal investigators concluded was that likely someone that committed this crime against this man sent a bogus death threat letter so that this guy would get deported before he was able to testify in state court against the people who committed this crime against him, right? That's what they figured out. Kristi Noem and the rest of the people at DHS, they don't care. Put the letter out anyways. They have yet to retract it, even though their own investigators are saying, nope, this guy didn't write it. That's not okay. Likewise, this little exchange at a town hall yesterday between angry constituents and Senator Joni Ernst is also not okay. And to be clear here, she is lying when she says 1.4 people who are here illegally receive Medicaid. That is not a fact. That is untrue. It is a lie. But Joni Ernst don't care, just like Kristi Noem don't care, Donald Trump don't care, and they don't care if they're lying to you. But the ugly truth came out of Joni Ernst's mouth. Let's take a listen again.
When you are arguing about illegals that are receiving Medicaid benefits, 1.4 million, they're not eligible. So they will be coming off. So we all are going to die. So
for heaven's sakes, we're all going to die. So let the federal government take Medicaid away from people. 14 million people. She's talking about 1.4. Again, that's a lie. It's not 1.4 people who are here illegally receiving Medicaid. That's not true. If you're here illegally, you are not qualified to receive Medicaid. It gets complicated if someone who's here illegally marries a citizen, has perhaps an asylum petition pending, or has a kid with a citizen. And the kid is now a citizen, and the kid qualifies for Medicaid. So, yeah, some of it's complicated. But the idea that even if on the margin, some people who are not eligible for Medicaid are receiving Medicaid, the question would be, what's the actual freaking number? And go audit that and kick those people off. You don't completely gut Medicaid simply because you've got some people that need to be audited and removed from it. You don't screw the other 13 million, even if you assume that Joni Ernst is right about the 1.4, which she's not. You don't screw the 12.6 other million people that are going to lose Medicaid who are eligible for Medicaid because of that. But, you know, who cares? Because we're all going to die anyways, Joni. If she believes that, here's what I'd like Senator Ernst to do. Give up your health insurance for the rest of your life, Senator. Maybe take up smoking. I don't know. I'm being glib. I don't really mean that. It's all a little bit much. And in other news that also is irking me to the nth degree, as a follow-on to my conversation in Hour 1 with former U.S. Attorney James Santel about the corruption, the out-and-out corruption that is happening in the Donald Trump administration, we should hate corruption no matter who the president is. There's one rule that's real clear when it comes to the powers of the president, and it's you cannot tell the IRS who to audit or stop auditing, because, you know, clearly that'd be some pretty significant leverage. Let's take a listen when Elizabeth Warren tried to drill down with Donald Trump's nominee to be the head of the IRS on this pretty simple point.
And I'm asking what I think is a pretty simple question. Can the president of the United States legally tell the IRS to change someone's nonprofit status?
I'm not able to answer.
You can't read these words and tell what those words say.
I can read the statute, and I did.
All right, then tell me what they mean. What does it mean to say that a person, an applicable person here, that's the president, right?
Yes.
All right. Cannot directly or indirectly, right? Tell any officer or employee, that would be you, of the Internal Revenue Service to conduct or terminate an audit or other investigation of any particular taxpayer. What part do you not understand here?
It seems to be not a nonprofit. I don't see exactly what.
Any taxpayer.
It goes on and on. The law is the president can't tell the IRS who to audit or stop auditing. Person in this context includes entities like nonprofits and, oh yeah, places like freaking Harvard. And the reason we don't allow presidents to do that is because a president could usurp the power of the IRS to punish his political enemies and to favor his supporters. That is corruption. That is the swamp. And no matter which team you root for, we should all know the things we learned in kindergarten. That's bad. It's really that simple. When we come back, we take your questions and Friday's, today's segment called Ask Maggie. You can ask me anything. Submit your questions. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. 855-752-4842. My senior producer joins me for Ask Maggie on the other side. Keep it locked. We'll be back with you in just a moment right here on this.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Seasons are changing, unofficially after the holiday, meteorologically with the calendar, and we will certainly start to feel it shortly. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
The unofficial start to summer was Memorial Day weekend. It's typically when pools and beaches open up for the season as the heat starts to rise and the days last longer. Now, the meteorological start to summer starts on Sunday, June 1st. It includes the months of June, July, and August. And the season timing is a bit different and runs by the calendar. It's done that way so it's easier to keep track of data and changes to the climate. And the astronomical start to the summer lands on June 20th. This marks the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. It will have the most hours of daylight out of all 365 days. After that, the hours of sunlight start to get shorter.
37 schools and after-school programs in 25 school districts across Wisconsin are receiving support to implement a social-emotional learning life tools program. The support comes from the Marshfield Clinic's Center for Community Health Advancement. Children and youth today are growing up in an ever-changing world. They have to navigate a society that is complex and academically competitive. Evidence shows that expanding social and emotional skills and competencies are as important for students as an emphasis on academics in order for them to succeed in school and in life. The SEL Life Tools program focuses on developing social-emotional tools that youth can use to thrive in their day-to-day lives, such as essential tools of resilience and empathy. In our area, the Marshfield Clinic Center for Community Health Advancement is supporting the implementation of SEL Life Tools programming in the following schools and after-school programs in the Nacoosa District, Port Edwards Elementary, Stevens Point Area, and DC Everest Area School Districts. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some people seem to forget that the Me Too movement was supposed to change things for the better. According to a new lawsuit being filed, Kevin Costner is not one of them. A 34-year-old female stunt performer on Costner's bomb, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, alleges she was a victim of sexual discrimination, harassment, and the creation of a hostile work environment, according to the New York Post. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that this clunker of a movie even exists. In reboots that don't need to happen, especially for shows that ran too long in the first place news, Duck Dynasty is coming back. I know what you're thinking. Oh, joy. The Robertson family are the marketing geniuses who pretended to be hillbillies to get actual hillbilly viewers. Duck Dynasty The Revival premieres June 1st on A&E and is already renewed for a season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight, maybe a stray shower, and a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, filtered sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. And mostly sunny on Sunday, high to the upper 70s, still a little smoky. 80s Monday, currently at 75 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house
They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's film incentive advocate Rex Sykes, Civic Media sports director Jimmy Cuska, and even though we are Terry Barless, it's still Bar Band Friday night. We'll be joined by Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's 5:30, and it is time for Ask Maggie. Welcome, everybody. Hope your week is wrapping up well. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Friday, because we all got to unwind just a little bit. We do a fun segment called Ask Maggie at 5:30, where my senior producer joins me and asks me, Maggie, your questions. You can submit those all week long at Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. That's an email, or you can shoot in your questions now, even 855-752-4842, 855-752-CIVIC. That is our text line. And of course, it's Free Ticket Friday. I will be dropping the Word to Win and our statewide Text to Win Brewers tickets. It's a four pack to the 6:40 game on Saturday, June 7th against the San Diego Padres. So don't go anywhere. I'll be dropping that word before the hour is out so you all can have some fun on Civic Media coming up one of those early weekends in June. Welcome back to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy Friday, by the way. You look lovely and springy today, too.
Oh, thank you. I had to dress more like an adult. Remember, everybody, you can watch us on YouTube if you want to give me some wardrobe feedback on what you like to see. Usually, you know, I've been leaning into the I do radio, so I'm going to show up in a t-shirt yes. and jeans sort yes. of thing. I spent a lot of years in suits mm-hmm. and heels and pantyhose, so I lean into the jeans and t-shirts.
Radio is the whole reason I don't do pantyhose and high heels.
The whole nine.
I've spent a lot of time behind a microphone. Hey, before we get started with Ask Maggie, you know, earlier this week, we talked a little bit about the Scripps Spelling Bee, and I was very yes. excited. I actually stayed up the other night to watch the very end of it in the finals. We do need to say a big congratulations to a Wisconsin student, Ethan yes. Robert from New Berlin. He is 12 years old, and he actually placed 10th in the Scripps Spelling Bee. And I mean, it's a nationwide contest. That's nothing to be ashamed of, Ethan. So from one speller to another, you are amazing. Amazing stuff. So that's
I'm not
cool.
quite the speller that Jamie is, Ethan, but I will say thanks for making us Wisconsin proud yet again. Yeah. Way to go. You have to be a hell of a speller to get to 10th place in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. That's awesome.
I got to be honest. I was listening to the final round the other night, and I don't consider myself to be a completely stupid human being, and I don't consider myself to be a horrible speller. I was like, what is this word that they are bringing out? And these students, like, if you watch the final, it was so awesome because the kid knew the word. He knew the word, didn't have to ask for the origin, didn't have to ask for the pronunciation, and he just spelled it, and it was an incredible moment. And anytime you see kids, like, accomplish something that amazing, heck, as adults, once we accomplish something that amazing, it was really cool to see. But congratulations to Ethan. So if you're in the New Berlin area, make sure you tell Ethan and his family what an awesome kid he is. So with that, I think it's time to get to some questions. We do have Woo-hoo! Some good ones. All right, Jacob, we got to have that fun new intro because, well, it's one of our favorites.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
That's a fun intro.
It is. I love that one.
I had to wait for the music. Plus, I have so many questions here in front of me because we've gotten a few in email. And I think where we're going to start today is right off the text line, because this is a good one. And this comes to our good friend Dave from New Berlin, as we were just talking about that. And Dave usually sends us really silly questions. It's been everything from, you know, how many dryer sheets should he use to over under on the toilet paper? And in typical Ask Angie fashion,
yes,
you have answered them all. So today's question is a little bit more serious. And this is a good one, because I think this is something that a lot of people have on their mind, especially as we watch, some of the comments coming out of the Trump administration. Can the president suspend our 2026 elections? And if so, how? That is the question that we're going to start with. We're going to give her 60 seconds for this one, Jacob, whenever you're ready.
God, I wish I could say emphatically, clearly, unequivocally, no, but sadly, Dave, I cannot. And here is why. Because in the big, brutal bill, and it seems to be poised, this provision of it seems to be poised to be accepted in the Senate, they've inserted a provision that will limit Article 3 federal court's ability to issue injunctions and make findings of contempt without the party seeking that injunction and contempt ruling, without that party posting a bond. The bond, it has been in the past, depending on the number of claimants, just assumed to be, for symbolic sake, say $1 a person impacted by the potential ruling and contempt, contempt finding. Here, and I'm sorry, this one's taking me a little bit longer because the steps here are really important. If the president clearly and unconstitutionally tried to cancel the elections, say declaring martial law, God knows what else, because he's been invoking those sorts of emergency powers right and left more than any other president in American history since this guy got sworn in. He does that. Someone raises a legal challenge, goes to court, asks for an injunction, maybe goes to many courts asking for many injunctions, depending on how the Supreme Court's feeling. Maybe we got to do it in every single one of the United States' 92 individual district courts, or one court, whatever it may be. Can you imagine which plaintiff has got a dollar sitting around for every eligible voter in the country? That would be, how would you calculate what the bond would be if the president continues to ignore court orders to hold the election, right? Which is a highly time-sensitive matter. Like, if you think about printing ballots, it's not a ballot that says, who do you vote for president? It's got all of those different elections up and down federal, state, and local government. They're incredibly complicated. Usually you got to get those to the printers like a month ahead of time. I know, I've been there. I've done that. I've looked at ballots. I've had to approve ballot proofs. It is very complicated. For every ward, there's a different ballot. And we have hundreds of wards, even just within Milwaukee County. If he just refuses to abide by court orders and you're trying to get a contempt finding, but the federal judge can't make the contempt finding because this laid down MAGA regime Congress, who refuses to abide by its constitutional oaths to actually be a check and a balance on the Article 2 power, the president's power, what the hell happens? So I wish I could say absolutely not. Trump won, I would have said absolutely not. We didn't move the election during COVID, did we? But we have gone through the looking glass. We're not just on the precipice anymore. We've gone through the looking glass. There have been repeated federal courts over the last 2 weeks alone that have increasingly found with greater and greater specificity and alarm that Donald Trump and his administration and the officials that he's appointed to lead these organizations, these federal departments, aren't following court orders. So, really, Congress? You're going to require a surety bond for a contempt ruling and thereby open up a possibility that a lawless, unbound, corrupt president, be she a current president or a future president, might just say, nah, we don't need those elections anymore. What the hell? I mean, where are we? That's Dave, such a great question. That took me well over a minute, and I apologize.
Well, no, it's important, and I think we have to talk about it, because this is why a few Fridays ago, when Stephen Miller made the claim that, you know, they're looking at suspending habeas corpus, this is why this is a serious conversation. Because initially, with the passage of the big brutal bill, as we like to call it, and those types of comments, this felt like a precursor and a setup to what potentially might one day be just what you're talking. And you and I have had numerous conversations off the air and together about why there's so many implications of this bill, right? I mean, and we have focused on so much of how this is going to harm individuals, families, what's going to happen. But there is so much that's underlying in this bill that we haven't even touched upon yet. And we do have plans to try to get to some of that. This is a 1,000-page bill, though. We're never in a bazillion years going to be able to touch on every single part of it. But it's important conversations that I think people have to be aware of as we go further. So I love the question, Dave. Thank you so much for bringing that to us.
And I'll also say this bit of breaking news. It's being reported this hour that Attorney General sycophant, not constitutional scholar, Pam Bondi sent a letter to the president of the American Bar Association and has said that the ABA will no longer be permitted to review judicial nominees by Donald Trump. This has been one of the core functions of the American Bar Association for time in memoriam. The ABA is not a partisan organization. It's made up of Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, independents, nonpartisan people, Democrats, liberals, progressives, and people who couldn't care a whit about politics. The letter says the ABA no longer functions as a fair arbiter of nominees' qualifications. P.S. But Donald Trump does. I'm just saying, what? And Pam Bondi continues, its ratings invariably and demonstrably favor nominees put forth by Democratic administrations. I hate to say this, maybe because Democrats nominate actual qualified candidates. I'm just saying. And the last president to get a nominee rejected and bounced wasn't Donald Trump. It was Barack Obama. Just saying, as a point of clarification, now I'm talking about to the Supreme Court level. This is insane. While the ABA is free to comment on judicial nominations, no kidding, because that's the First Amendment, along with other, quote, activist organizations, there is no justification for treating the ABA differently from such other, quote, activist organizations, and the Department of Justice will not do so. Specifically, the Office of Legal Policy will no longer direct nominees to provide waivers, allowing the ABA access to non-public information, including bar records. What? Nominees will also not respond to questionnaires prepared by the ABA and will not sit for interviews with the ABA. Conservative lawyers across the country, you know this is wrong. And you know that Donald Trump's nominees to the bench are not qualified to sit on the bench any longer. He's not putting forward simply qualified conservative attorneys for judgeships. He has crossed through the looking glass. I'm sorry to go on during Ask Me Aggie, but this is, I know this as a lawyer, this is bananas. It's calling an organization that has served a critical oversight role an activist organization. The ABA is not an activist organization. Oh, Jamie. Yeah. we just got the one really important question in.
But you know what? This is what Ask Maggie is for, right? These are not always the topics we normally get to, but we do have to get to our free ticket Friday.
Free ticket, yes. Friday. That is coming up. On the flip side, you are not going to want to go anywhere, because it's not just 4 free tickets in the club level to go watch the Brewers take on the San Diego Padres on June 7th at 6:40. It's also the Jackson Studio replica jersey free giveaway. So don't go anywhere. Your ticket and free ticket Friday word to win is coming up next. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, 2 different times, 1 fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Patience is rewarded, ladies and gentlemen. It is Free Ticket Friday. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Friday this summer, nearly every Friday this summer, across each and every one of our network radio talk shows, starting with, of course, my friend Pat Kreitlow in the mornings from 6 to 9, Jane Matiner and Greg Bach from 9 to 11, my good friend Todd Alba that's got the fine program before mine from 2 to 4 p.m., we are giving away Brewers tickets, 4 of them in each of those shows, almost every Friday in the summer. It's 4 tickets in Civic Media's beautiful club-level seats at AmFam Field. Today, right now, I'm about to give away 4 tickets to June 7th's showing of the Brewers versus the San Diego Padres, that game at 6:40 in the evening. Your word to win, you're going to want to text this via the Civic Media app. You send it in, just doing the normal text, and ain't going to qualify you to win. You're going to text in this word via the Civic Media app. You're going to get a bounce back text confirming that you've been entered. We draw the winners on Monday, and Civic will be in touch. Here's your word, blue. As in Brewers Blue, B-L-U-E, blue is the word to win those 4 tickets. And it's also the Jackson Cheerio replica jersey giveaway night. If you want to be sure you get those, you got to get in line early to get into that game. They only go to the first 25,000 entering Brewers fans on Saturday, June 7th. The word to win today in Free Ticket Friday is blue, B-L-U-E, blue. Go get those tickets. Who knows? You might even see me at that game. I sometimes make a little special appearance because I basically can't get enough baseball. Thanks to all of my fine guests today, Jim Santel. You can find Jim's great program, Amicus, a law review, on Saturdays across the Civic Media Network from 9 to 11. Big thanks to Eva Wen, reporter from the Journal Sentinel, and of course, my senior producer, Jamie, and Jacob running the boards. Going into this weekend, here is my thought for all of you. Try to get outside. We are rolling into the summer. We only get a few days of this each year in Wisconsin, and you should get outside and enjoy Wisconsin's parks because it is Wisconsin's free fun weekend. This brought to you this article, this information by my colleague here at Civic Media, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. What is the Free Fun Weekend? It is the 13th annual. It is June 7th to June 8th, so the same weekend as the Brewers tickets giveaway, so mark your calendar. There is no state park admission, no fishing license needed, no trail passes needed. It is a Free Fun Weekend in Wisconsin state parks. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources wants to encourage all of us to get outside, hang out, and have some fun. Again, you can do this without paying a penny. You can go to any of our 50 state parks, 15 state forests, 44 state trails, and 84,000 miles of rivers and streams, and 15,000 inland lakes. Again, vehicle admission stickers not required. State parks and trails will be open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Amazing. There's going to be a pop-up sale at the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest on June 7th. You can check out all of the programs and events for this special weekend. Happens to be the same weekend of that Brewers tickets giveaway. Don't worry, there's tons of state parks in the Milwaukee area. You can find all of those events on the DNR events calendar. You can check out Brittany's amazing coverage of the Wisconsin Free Fun Weekend on the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. I gotta ask you, Jacob, do you have a favorite state park?
In Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Is Devil's Lake a state park?
It sure is, my friend. That one counts.
I would have what to go with that one because that is beautiful, Maggie.
Yeah, what Wisconsinite doesn't love Devil's Lake? It's kind of one of those places like everybody's been to Devil's Lake at least once. That's one of my favorites. I also love Rochacree. I've been all over the Kettle Moraine State Forest, both the North Loop, the South Loop. Like, there's five, I don't know how many different Kettle Moraine State Forest parks they've got.
Are you hiker, Maggie, or a kayaker? What's going on? I mean, how do you enjoy these parks?
Oh, my friend, I used to do a huge amount of hiking, like picture like bring your water backpack kind of hiking. Did the Grand Canyon with my dad.
Whoa.
Down and back up for his 60th birthday. My poor old knees do a little bit less of that. I'll do day hiking, but most of the time my enjoyment of our beautiful state park and state park forest recreational opportunities here in Wisconsin are what I like to call car camping, where you drive all of your gear right onto your campsite. You just take it out of the car, set up camp. You're not schlepping things across the wilderness on your back and then setting up a tiny little tent because it was the lightest tent you could find. Oh, no, friend. I'm talking queen size air mattress, full kitchen setup. Like, the idea is to conquer the elements with the least amount of effort possible.
That's the camping for me, Maggie. I admire you camping, hiking all the way into the Grand Canyon. I would be riding a burro down there myself. I don't think I'm walking that, but congratulations.
That's
very
one way
impressive
to do it, my man. Listen, I'll just tell you this. When we got down to the base of the Grand Canyon, so there's the river, right? And there are were these like super luxury riverboat tour companies with like the gourmet chefs and these beautiful, huge tents. I mean, it was like glamping before that was a thing. Mm-hmm. I'd see them coasting by, setting up their camp. I walked over there. I was the one nominated from our hiking group. Can you go ask them for a couple of chairs? Because let me tell you, when you've been hiking, all you want is a back on the thing that you're sitting on. It is quite luxurious. Folks, whatever you're doing this weekend, please do enjoy yourself. Be safe out there. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And have an excellent weekend. I'll be back with all of you on Monday. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Take care, y'all.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
This is a big deal today.
President Trump is in Pittsburgh to celebrate his deal for Japan's Nippon Steel to invest in U.S. steel.
It's great, and you're going to have control. You're going to maintain control.
Trump told the steel workers he's going to double tariffs on foreign steel from 25 to 50%. Air quality is worsening in parts of the U.S. because of wildfires in Canada. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The wind continues to come out of the north, and as it does so, it's going to push smoke all the way down to Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay. All of those areas likely to see bad air quality on and off for the next several days.
The haze could reach as far south as Tennessee and Arkansas. Elon Musk left the White House and his position at Doge today.
This is not the end of Doge, but really the beginning.
He says he still believes there will be $1 trillion in cuts to the federal government. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.